in thinking that we are always connected. You know, you think about it, never in the history of the world have we had so many different avenues to stay connected with people, right? I mean, we can connect Facebook-wise. We can connect with Snapchat, as if I use it. Instagram, which I don't use, but I've heard of it. We can connect with texting. You know, every weekend, my wife and I are loving FaceTime. Have you ever heard of that? You know, Skyping. Because we want to see our daughter who's at Southern, you know, the furthest school that she could find from us. And we want to see what she looks like. And we want to experience her life. What's interesting is that this connection happens through invisible wires, through cyberspace, right? Something happens where we push send, and somehow we're able to connect. And we never even doubt that we're going to make a connection. We know it's going to happen. I wonder, do you have the same attitude when it comes to making a connection with God? Are you daily connecting with Him? Are you presenting Him your cares and concerns, just like you would to your friends on social media? Today we begin a brand new sermon series called Making the Connection. And this will be a six-part series talking about how to connect with the invisible wireless God. He's out there. Apparently He's available. He will always receive our messages. Kids, the word for today is prayer. And I know we have a lot of kids. I saw them up here. So here's the strategy. What you do is you listen to how many times I say the word prayer, and then you kind of like make a mark on a sheet of paper. And then at the end of the service, you come to see me, and I will have something special for you if you're right on how many times I said the word prayer. Found in the book of Legends, and also written by the historian Josephus, is a story about a man named Honi. He was a man that everyone knew walked with God. As a matter of fact, Honi was quite respected and lived 100 years before Jesus walked the earth. And this man would spend much time in prayer, and everyone knew about it. This was a time when there was no miracles, no prophets, and in fact, God seemed to be asleep, the intertestamental period. And so here Honi was, along with everyone else, discovering one fact, and that is that it was very dry. In fact, there in the midst of a drought, everyone was thirsty. The cows were thirsty. The cats were thirsty. The people were thirsty. Everyone wanted water, and there was none. And so one day, Honi found himself walking into town, and as he walked in, everyone said, "Hey, there he is, the man of prayer. Hey, let's ask him to pray for rain. Honi, pray for rain. Would you pray for rain?" So Honi paused. Everyone listened, and he uttered a prayer. The sky was cloudless, and it remained so, and there was no rain. And so then, Honi did something rather remarkable. He took his 6-foot staff, dug it into the parched earth, and drew a circle around himself. And then he got on his knees. And he raised his hands and he said, "Lord, your people are in need of rain." And began to pray earnestly for rain. Earnestly. The people were taken aback at his authority, his confidence, his faith, his earnestness that God would somehow in that moment hear his prayer. In fact, he said, "I will not leave this prayer circle until you make it rain." Well, as the story goes, again reported by Josephus and others. Apparently, soon after, there was a drop, and then another drop, and pretty soon, rain. To the point where it was raining so much that the people looking on, who were at first celebrating, began to run because for fear of flooding. Desperate, urgent, expectant. Honi's prayer was heard. When was the last time you and I prayed that kind of prayer? Today we are living in a time when God is looking for more circle makers. More people willing to draw a circle around their greatest problem or a concern or a care and to bring it to the Lord until he resolves it. I really appreciate this quote by Mark Batterson in the book, The Circle Maker. Bold prayers honor God, and God honors bold prayers. God isn't offended by your biggest dreams or boldest prayers. He is offended by anything less. If your prayers aren't impossible to you, they are insulting to God. Why? Because they don't require divine intervention, but ask God to part the Red Sea or make the sun stand still or float an iron axe head, and God is moved to omnipotent action. Is that the God you serve? Is that the God that you know? Perhaps you've seen him working in other people's lives. Has he worked like that in yours? Prayer, if you think about it, is the most powerful thing we can do as human beings. We can work hard at something, but when God is working with us, it's amazing what can get done. Now I want to invite you to go to the book of Joshua. Joshua chapter 5. Joshua chapter 5, we'll be looking at three verses there. Joshua chapter 5, 13 through 15. Joshua has been replaced. Actually, Joshua has replaced Moses. And God has instructed Joshua to do what? To lead the people into the what? The promised land. Stay with me, guys. And so they are going to be going to the promised land. But there is one city standing in their way. And what city is that? City of Jericho. Got some tall walls, right? And so Joshua is going to have a little prayer time. It's a reminder to us that each time we seize the day, it's crucial that we take some time in prayer. Joshua is going to be making a connection with God. Joshua, now chapter 5, verses 13 through 15. And it came to pass, when Joshua was by Jericho, that he lifted his eyes and looked, and behold, a man stood opposite him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went to him and said to him, "Are you for us or for our adversaries?" So he said, "No, but as commander of the army of the Lord, I have now come." And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and worshiped and said to him, "What does my Lord say to his servant?" Then the commander of the Lord's army said to Joshua, "Take your sandal off your foot, for the place where you stand is holy." And Joshua did so. Joshua is having his morning devotion time. And he is praying about the events of the day. That's the best time to have that conversation, as before the day begins. And in the midst of his dialogue, he runs into what appears to be, at first glance, an angel. And he says, "Hey, are you with us or not?" Notice there was no answer, because God is with all people. He wants to see everyone saved. Verse 14 says, it was the commander of the Lord's army. Who could that be? Is that Gabriel? Well, apparently, this commander is the same commander that fought Lucifer up in heaven. The same commander who is Lord of Lords and King of Kings. The same commander who is your Savior and mine. How do we know this is not just an angel? Because the verse says, this place that you're standing is what? Holy. Holy. And we never bow down to angels. This is God. This is Jesus Christ. And there, Jesus meets us there. As Joshua continues his prayer, he's wanting answers. Lord, you know what's before me. You know there's a city with 50-foot walls. By the way, two walls. The outer wall being taller. Lord, you asked us to go in and take this land, but there's a city. What do we do? What's your plan, Lord? The Lord responds, in essence, by saying, Joshua, you draw a circle around it, and you pray. Joshua chapter 6, verse 11. Going to the next chapter, Joshua 6, now verse 11. So he had the ark of the Lord circle the city, going around it once. Then they came into the camp and lodged in the camp. God told Joshua, what I want you to do is circle the city for how many days? 7 days. And on the seventh day, I want you to circle the city 7 more times. And by the way, bring your warriors, your prayer warriors, with you as you circle the city. And bring the high priest too, because this is an act of worship. So I began to encircle the city. But you know, you think about it, every time we try to pray, especially if we're trying to have that routine, you know, in our life that we're going to pray every morning, who is trying to oppose us? Of course, right? The devil. He wants to, and he's very creative, at giving us any reason under the sun not to spend time with the Son. And so in this case, certainly it was no different. The Bible tells us that Joshua instructed the people to be quiet. Let's read about it. One verse before. Now Joshua, this is verse 10. Now Joshua commanded the people, saying, you shall not shout or make any noise with your voice, nor shall a word proceed out of your mouth until the day I say to you, shout. Then you shall shout. Now we don't know exactly how detailed Joshua was with the people about how this city would be taken. He could have given the full plan. Guys, here's what's going to happen. You're going to march around for 7 days, and on the seventh day after the seventh round, the walls are going to come down, and so, you know, no problem. Or he could have said, we're going to be marching, and I'm not quite sure exactly how it's going to happen. I don't really know exactly. I think Joshua knew. I think the Bible says. The point is, even if Joshua said the walls are going to come down, it was still an act of faith. And so these prayer warriors are walking around silently. And I like to think that their head is bowed. And I like to think that they are saying, Lord, how will you do it? I'm drawing a circle around this problem. That problem is Jericho. Lord, how will you do it? And as they walk around, of course, the devil uses the taunts of the people inside the city to try to discourage them. What are you doing? You know, and probably hurling insults and put downs as the people continue to make their pass each day. The prayer warriors. Now, on day 7, after 7 rounds again, at that point, the trumpets sounded, and the people were no longer silently praying, but now they could cheer expectantly because there all of a sudden was a crack and then a creak and then a crumble. The biggest miracle of their life was being witnessed because they circled it in prayer. The 400-year-old promise to Abraham was finally restored. And Jericho stands as a testament that God keeps his promises. We are to circle his promises, and then we are to pray for his promises. What is your Jericho this morning? What is it that is plaguing you? What is it that is impossible for you to solve? What is it that is like Jericho? Impossible. Are you willing to commit yourself to drawing a circle around it and praying? But not just you, but maybe inviting others to pray with you. Maybe getting real with friends, with a small group, with your church, and letting others pray with you. Because I'm telling you, God wants to tear down more Jerichos in the East Bay. Are you with us? Are you with me? There is greater power when we pray together. We have to start individually. We need to be spending that time privately. But then when we come together, something amazing happens. There's a multiplication factor. And so I'm excited about what we have in store at this church. You know, somebody asks, hey, what kind of pastor are you going to be? What are you all about? Well, I will tell you this. I'm all about prayer. That's first thing. And one thing that I would love to see is a revival forward on our knees. And I've seen some amazing things just in my short ministry that God can do when his people pray. And we'll be sharing those stories through this series. But it starts with you on your knees privately. Taking your Bible. Circle the promise that stood out to you that day. And pray that morning around that problem. Now let's shift gears. When Jesus was wrapping up his ministry, he had his disciples with him, and he wanted to give them one fundamental truth they had to understand before he left. He wasn't really leaving because his spirit would be there, but he was physically leaving, and he wanted to reassure them of one critical truth. And here's what Jesus said in John chapter 14, verses 12 through 14. Very truly I tell you, disciples, whoever believes in me will do the works I have been doing. And this is amazing. And they will do even greater things than these. Because I am going to the Father, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son. You may ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. You say, hey, wait a minute, not everything, not anything, not everything, because I've prayed and not anything and everything have been answered. Well, that's going to be another sermon in this series. Because God always answers our prayers, just not the way we always pray them. And praise the Lord on that. But greater things will happen. I mean, this is Jesus. This is God. Disciples, by the way, when I leave, greater things are going to happen. What? But you're Jesus. Greater things. Why? Because I'm going to be with you. And my spirit will help you do greater things. What's greater? Well, the message was preached just to Palestine. Greater things, it went around the world after Jesus left. But he's still there through his spirit. Greater things. Jesus, he had a resurrection or two. He healed here and there. He taught here and there. Hey, the disciples, they did the same thing. And we've seen since his time wonderful miracles, which we'll be sharing. Greater things will happen. Apparently, God's power is available even in the 21st century in the East Bay. Do you believe it?
Amen.
Are you drawing a circle around your greatest fear, your biggest problem, and letting the God of the universe handle it? Could it be that we actually can cast out demons today? Is it possible that we can actually pray for someone and they get better? Is it true that we could pray for someone and they come back to life? Oh, no. Now, don't. That's kind of ridiculous, Pastor Mitch. Okay, the other stuff, sure. Okay, yeah. Resurrections, not in this century, no. Really? I've got a story for you on that one. As a church, I do remember a woman by the name of Patty. This is the church that we were at before. No, she didn't die. No, she wasn't resurrected. So there's another story like that coming. But Patty was a nurse, and she was a very nice woman. But apparently, she suffered from migraine headaches. And you know, I got to believe there's some folks here that suffer from that. For 30 years, a migraine. So much so that she couldn't go to work many times. She just thought, hey, I'm going to have to live with this Jericho. Well, apparently, also, her doctor, her neurosurgeon, told her that she had the beginning stages of bone cancer. Apparently, she was celiac intolerant, and she had asthma. And in addition to all that, she had stage fright. All right. So she came to me one day. We were, I don't know what the setting was exactly, but she said, Pastor, would you pray over me? I said, I'm not going to pray over you, but we're going to bring some prayer warriors to pray over you, and we're going to anoint you. By the way, anointing, that's in James chapter 5, and that is not for people that are just about to die. That is for people who want to get better. Look at the context. And so we made an appointment. She prepared herself. And there is a way to prepare for this type of service. We went to her house. I remember sitting in her living room there with her husband. She goes, yeah. And she was telling me about her headaches and all of us and her struggles. And apparently her family history included witchcraft. Well, we were learning some stuff. And so we claim some promises. You know, we opened up the Bible and circled some promises in the Word of God, and we uttered those. And we prayed. We circled her and prayed. Well, she was going on a trip, like the next day. She called me the next day. Hey, I don't have a headache. I go, okay, well, that's one day. Hey, I don't seem to be having any asthma. A few weeks later, doctor cannot find any sign of anything. A few weeks later, by the way, I don't have any stage fright. And by the way, I can eat anything I want. I mean, really? That was, to the glory of God, a miracle. And it's okay to be excited. I know you're holding back. John 14:13, and I will do whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. That's the reason. When Jesus is lifted up, he draws men to himself. Why these miracles? Because it gets people's attention to come closer to Christ. Not to say, hey, look what we did. No. It's evangelistic. There's power when we come together in prayer. There's power when we pray individually. There's greater power when we come together and pray. So I want to take you on a little journey here to the first church, Acts Church. Jesus has left, but he's still there, right, through his Spirit. And he promised them, I will come, or I will send you my helper, actually. And so the early church drew a circle around that promise. Acts chapter 1, verse 14, they all joined together constantly in prayer, along with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus, and with his brothers. The church was praying for the promised helper. And we know what happened, right? The Holy Spirit came and empowered. Pretty soon, some of the leading evangelists of the early church got into some trouble. One of them, being Peter, was imprisoned. James was already executed, so it didn't look like there was constant protection among the church leaders. So what did the church do for Peter? Well, you know what? It's too late. He's already in prison. And, I mean, you know, he'll have the trial. He'll be executed. Okay, what are we going to do now? No, they prayed. An impossible prayer. Why? Because he's chained between two guards and he's enclosed in a very, very high security prison. But the Bible says that they prayed. Acts chapter 12, verse 5. So Peter was kept in prison, but the church was earnestly praying to God for him. I love how they didn't give up on him, how they drew a circle around him and they prayed together. Well, we know the story, right? An angel came and had to wake him up. Why? Because he's at such peace. He's at such peace with his Lord. And they wake him up, the angel, and walk him out of prison. I just wonder, how many of us have a Jericho problem? How many of us are Peter in prison? How many of us are ready for God's power to be released? By the way, speaking of prayer, we're going to be trying to do different prayer ideas in this church. And one thing simple is we're going to be gathering at the front of the school at the flagpole at 7:50 a.m. So if you're a parent, 7:50, you're going to have a 4-minute prayer there. It's not going to be a sermon. And we're going to circle around the school and pray for the school. Did you know that the school is one of our big ministries here? It is. I mean, this is the way it's designed. If we have special needs, you can bring them up right there and we will pray. Do you believe that God has given this church the power to see miracles? I mean, do you really believe that? Or do you think that's just for other churches? Do you think that this church could actually have stories that are written about it because of your prayers? There's a young businessman living in Romania. His name was Pavel. Pavel was very successful. He was in the clothing business, and he just got a big contract in Germany. Apparently, he was going to make millions. But he got the call, and he decided to accept, became a pastor for Church District, married to Dana, young Adventist pastor. I've met him before. Well, this district was riddled with problems, apathy, busyness. So what did he do? He said, hey, let's start praying. They started praying. God started healing, started growing the church, greater unity, greater outreach. Just exciting things were taking place. And so Pastor Pavel said, you know what? Let's have an evangelistic meeting. I don't know, 2 weeks long or something. They sent out the invitations. The date is set. Well, pastor's driving on the freeway. And he's doing the speed limit. And the unthinkable happens. Somebody crosses the freeway, a young man by the name of Minnie. And the pastor cannot avoid him, and he strikes him. He flies up like a rag doll, comes down, hits the ground. He's not looking good. They rush him to the hospital. He's bleeding from his ears, his nose, his mouth. The doctors are scrambling. They take x-rays. His brain is hemorrhaging. His spine is in half. His hip is broken. His leg is broken. His arm's broken. But mainly his brain is hemorrhaging. His lung is punctured. They do all that they can to resuscitate this young man. But to no avail, he dies. They pull the white sheet over him. The pastor is shocked. You see, Minnie was actually a popular figure in the town. He was known as Minnie Minnie. Why? Because he would stutter. He was kind of like ridiculed. And he didn't have good control of his arms and legs. He had like a neurological problem. And so stuttering and tripping, and he was just well known. And here the pastor had killed this boy just before an evangelistic meeting. So the pastor was there at the bedside, put his head on the bed, began to pray. The doctors gave him some space, but after a few minutes, they said, "Hey, pastor, it's over. You need to go home." Pastor Pavel went home, but he said, "You know what? It's not over. It's not over." He said, "Honey, we got to draw a circle around Minnie Minnie, and we need to pray for him." "Do what? Didn't he already die?" "Yeah." "Okay." So they prayed all night long for his resurrection. What? An impossible thing? Yeah. Adventist pastor, true story. Prayed all night, claiming the promises in the Word of God. And you know, the next morning, the pastor went to the hospital. Came to a room with chaos. He predicted that there would be chaos. But good chaos. Because there, sitting up in the bed, was Minnie Minnie. And the doctors had two x-rays on the brain. This one hemorrhaging, this one clear. This x-ray, the spine broken. This one, the spine intact. This one, the hip is broken. This one, the hip is fine. And apparently when Minnie, Minnie opened his mouth, he was not stuttering anymore. And just to help everyone remember that he was in an accident, his arm was still broken. I think his leg as well. You know, God is the God of the impossible. What are you drawing a prayer circle around? Do you believe that God can still do amazing things in the 21st century? Are you willing to make a connection every single day? Are you willing to let others perhaps connect with you with your problem? What is your Jericho? And are you willing to draw a circle around it and pray? Lord Jesus, we don't know how it works. We don't know how it works exactly. But we do know that you say that we can bring to you anything and to your honor and glory, you will hear and answer our prayers. Lord, sometimes the answer is different than we'd like. And that's another discussion. But oh Lord Jesus, you do answer in ways that we do pray at times. And so, Lord Jesus, I pray that today would be a day that we as a church would declare we are going to begin to pray like we've never prayed before. And who knows what you have in store for us, but you alone. Oh, Lord, thank you for every person here. It's not by accident they're here. So guide us, Lord, and encourage us along the way is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.